Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. I appreciate you tuning in this morning. I'm joined this morning a special guest. She is I would almost presume, have to be a nationally recognized attorney. Is that correct?
I was a past chair of the American Bar Association's Animal Law Committee, so okay. I guess maybe.
So in the attorney world, you're like some kind of gigantic flashing superstar.
Well, in the animal law, which is a very specific subset of the larger picture.
Ladies, please welcome Leedy Van Cavage. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Leedy Van Cavage to the show this morning. Thank you very much for coming over, Leedy.
I am so excited to be in Fairfield, and I live in Collinsville, so driving over today, it was so beautiful with the sunset. It was early, but yeah. It was very, very beautiful.
So you were able to
sunrise.
Watch the sunrise on the
I
way,
was,
as you're
I was,
east.
And I had forgotten my sunglasses.
Well, that's trouble.
I know, but I made it.
Well, that's we certainly do appreciate it. Leedy is the, all right, now let me, I'm going to have to look at it here, make sure I get it. Senior legislative attorney at Best Friends Animal Society.
That is correct, sir. What? So senior means I'm old, probably.
I was going to ask, what exactly does that mean? That means you go from, and Best Friends is a national group.
Yes, the Best Friends Animal Society.
Tell me about Best Friends.
So Best Friends has a beautiful sanctuary in southern Utah, which we hope that you will come and volunteer at soon, Bruce. It'll be fun, I promise.
Is anybody recording this?
You got to come. It's by Vegas, so you can, you know. All right. So, yeah, so we're in Utah, and we have 1,800 animals at the sanctuary.
Really?
3,500 acres. It is beautiful. I mean, I love going there. But our mission is to stop the killing of dogs and cats in America's shelters. So, like, what ARF does is extremely important to get animals spayed and neutered. It's extremely important. So that's what we do at Best Friends. And what I do is I try to get good community cat legislation passed so that shelters can do trap, neuter, shelter return.
Sure.
And then we also try to stop breed discrimination.
We're going
to
talk a little bit more about all of that.
Okay.
I'm especially fascinated with the breed discrimination, being a Great Dane owner.
All right.
One of them, right?
That is. That's one that some cities outlaw.
How did you get started? I know, of course, you're an attorney. I mean, we already established that. How did you? What made you go into this area?
Well,
how did you get started? Where are you from? Are you from Collinsville?
I'm from Collinsville and grew up. You know, our neighbors raised.
You're a Cayhawk.
I'm a Cayhawk.
There you go.
Yeah, back when Coach Fletcher was around.
Oh, you knew Coach Fletcher.
I did. Went to school with Mark Fletcher. Yeah,
you probably went to school with Kevin Stallings.
Yes.
Bit.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. You know, so it was back in the day. But it was yes, the hay. Day in Collinsville. But the reason why I probably am an animal attorney is because when I was about four, my grandmother found a little pit bull terrier dog, and it was a puppy. And I, you know, we brought it home, and I named him Booty, not Booty, Booty.
Booty, okay, like B U D D I
B O O D Y. Because yeah, I was four. I was four. Okay, couldn't spell. But he went everywhere with me, and my mom. We ran the woods together. You know, we went in the cow pastures together, and she knew I was safe as long as that my dog was with me.
Sure.
So that's how I got this affinity for he was my brother or my sister, you know. Yeah, he was everything to me. So that's where I got the affinity.
You decided to go to Eastern with the plan heading to Eastern. I mean, when did you decide to become an attorney for them?
Well, my undergraduate degree was zoology.
Okay.
So I thought I wanted to be a vet, and then I hit biochemistry. Totally bottomed out.
Yeah,
So
the weed out class is basically what they call those. Yeah,
exactly.
That's the weed out.
Yeah. So I basically crashed and burned in biochemistry, and I decided, well, you know, let's rethink this. So I was getting my degree in environmental studies at SIU Edwardsville and decided that nobody would listen to you unless you could sue them. So that's when I went to St. Louis U Law School.
That's good thinking, actually.
Yeah, you know.
Well, you know, they may listen to you, but they may not pay attention to
exactly,
you.
Exactly, exactly.
And so you decided to become, you went to SLU Law School, you became an attorney. Did you work in private practice coming out? Or
I clerked for the Southern District of Illinois, the federal courts, and the Illinois Appellate Court, the Fifth District. And then I was in a private law firm for like 5 years. And then I worked for the Social Security Administration, which was very boring, but it was a great, steady gig. and it allowed me to start the Metro East Humane Society.
Probably also, yeah. Okay, so that gave you the time
exactly.
To actually set down ties.
Yes, yes. I started, you know, like we, in 84, got out of law school and found that in the newspaper, back when there were newspapers,
yeah.
You know, there was a woman who was upset because she had taken her dog to the pound, went back for it the next day, changed her mind, and it had already been sold for research to WashU, and
okay.
her dog was gone. And she didn't know that our county, Madison County at that time, was selling animals for research. I didn't know it. And so we got about five friends together, started working on getting rid of it. We were able to stop the county from selling research within 3 months.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then we looked at their stats, and that time they had killed over 4,000 dogs and cats, and or sold them to research, and they had only adopted out 78 dogs and 14 cats
the
entire year.
So basically, two for every 100.
It was horrible.
Every 100 killed, they were having two go out.
Yeah, it was. So we said let's incorporate. We can do a better job with adoptions, and we adopted out about 1,000 dogs within the next 2 years and cats.
So early on, then you're thinking, hey, this is there's a way to be effective, and there's also a need, isn't
yeah,
there?
Exactly, and that's why, you know, in Southern Illinois there is a huge need for getting animals sterilized and getting, you know, good dogs and good cats into homes.
So you're at Social Security for a while, and you decide, let's get into where I really want to be. Is that when you went into the ASPCA?
Yeah, I was sitting next to my future boss at the ASPCA at a conference, and 6 months later she called and said, "Hey, you want a job with us full time?" It's like
you just happened to be sitting next
yeah.
to her. You hadn't met her.
I hadn't met her. You know, didn't apply for it, and I just got this call out of the blue because I was, you know, I was talking to her. So a lobbyist talk.
Well, yeah, sure they do. You bet.
You know, so we, you know, and we hit it off, and I was with the ASPCA for 9 years until best friends lured me away.
What'd you do for ASPCA?
I was basically in charge of legislation and legal training.
It's similar to what you're doing now.
Exactly. A lot more cruelty stuff. So like I was here in Norris, and with the Illinois mobile units, we trained police officers in investigating cruelty in the Illinois laws, because believe it or not, Illinois has the best humane laws in the United States.
Is that right?
For companion animals. Yeah, our legislators have done a really good job.
Did you see the change or I mean, there's been, I presume that would have been 25 years
yeah.
ago to now. Could you see the change going from when you started ASPCA to when you left ASPCA?
Oh, yeah.
And I guess they kept the train rolling.
Yeah, you know, they did, and so did Best Friends. So we basically, I was involved with probably the passage of over 25 humane laws in the state of Illinois.
What was the first one? Do you remember?
It was in 2000, the Humane Euthanasia and Animal Shelters Act. So basically, shelters could get drugs for animals to be euthanized, because prior to that time,
they'd been gassed, right?
Yeah, they'd been gassed, and the shelters couldn't get access. And then the other law we did was a companion animal hoarder law that basically mandated psychological counseling for hoarders that, you know, collect a lot of animals and abuse them. And we were able to increase the penalties for all the cruelty laws in that bill, too.
Have you been able to see, over the course of time, have you been able to see the, for instance, the hoarders?
Yeah.
Is there less of a problem now than there was before? I mean, because I suspect there's as much of a problem now as there always has been, because the mental health issue the mental side of it isn't treated as well as it could be in this country.
Exactly. They need psychological counseling, and that's what our bill did, is mandate psychological counseling
yeah.
for hoarders. But it's hard because we don't know what the baseline is.
Yeah.
We don't know
if it's okay for somebody to have, like, I've got three dogs and
yeah.
three and a half cats. So, I mean, that's barely getting started.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a hoarder, it's not really the number of animals you have, because, like, Oprah can have a lot of animals because
yeah.
she has staff.
Yeah.
But it's the conditions in which they live and the conditions in which you live.
Three dogs and three cats could be way too much for some people.
For some people in an apartment with their house filled
sure.
up with trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. We're talking here with Leedy Van Cavage of Best Friends and the Best Friends Animal Society. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we return and get into a lot more about what people are doing in Utah. This is just crazy to me.
It's fun.
It's fun. We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW. Back soon.
I love my dog, he's my dog. If you don't love my dog, that's okay. I don't want you to, he's my dog. I love my dog, he's my dog. If my dog don't love you, that's okay. I don't want him to, he's my dog. Sometimes it's just this simple.
You heard this song?
I have not. I love it, though. It's like Booty. My dog.
This is the Bottle Rocket.
Oh, my gosh. I love the Bottle Rocket.
Yeah, they're playing next Friday night.
Are they down in
St. Louis?
Oh, really?
There's a benefit. Yeah, I think I'm going to go there.
Wow, because Cliff loves the Bottle Rocket.
Oh, is that right? But
yeah. He's got a bunch of their albums. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Talking with Lady Van Cavage here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Leedy is the senior legislative attorney at Best Friends Animal Society. And as such, tell me about the formation of Best Friends and what that's all about. That seems like, I read a little bit about it, and it seems like these folks just came, kind of like 30 or 15 people came together, and all of a sudden it's a gigantic organization.
It is. It is amazing. But the organization is about 30 years old, and they had a dream that they wanted to help save animals and stop the killing in shelters. So they, a tight-knit group, they found this beautiful place in Utah, Angel Canyon, and it is gorgeous. And when you go there, you will love it.
But, hold on. It's not some kind of hippie commune or something.
No, not at all. All right. But basically, so they started just saving animals and,
do I have to bring my own liquor?
Tabling. Well, I would buy it in Nevada or Arizona, not in Utah.
Okay, that probably makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I do when I come in. That's where I get my whiskey.
Okay, good. All right, so they've got this great big old place out there, huh?
Yeah, it's huge, it's beautiful, and you can volunteer to, like, you can take free tours, you can volunteer at the sanctuary to walk dogs, to pet kitties, to walk the pigs. That's my favorite, because you walk them by putting little things of popcorn down, and they just follow you, and they're adorable. They are adorable.
So people go out there and basically spend their vacations days at a time. How many days will people spend?
Sometimes they'll spend a week, sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes just a day. But they all,
I could do the 1 day plan.
You could do the 1 day plan. You could do pigs in the morning and parrots in the afternoon, or the bunnies.
And Vegas at night.
Well, but it's a 4-hour drive, so so you want to figure that out.
So it's about six, you're talking about 6 square miles or so there. 5 or 6 square miles.
You can do the math. Biochem, I bottomed out.
Whenever they started doing that, I think I saw the statistic, but you'll know it a lot better than me. When they started, when they saw the need to try to stem some of the killing at the shelters, how many animals were being put down?
Oh, back in the day, it was like 18 to 20 million. I mean, it was
a year throughout the country.
In the United States. It was horrible. Like, I know what was going on in Madison County, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And back then in the 80s when Best Friends started and when we started a Metro East Humane Society up there, Madison County was killing 4,000, dogs and cats a year. And now they're down. Last year they killed 188 dogs, which isn't bad for that size of a county, but they killed 999 cats. So that's why we're trying to get people to start focusing on the cats and start doing community cat programs.
Okay, back in the 80s then when Best Friends formed, you said it was 18 to 20 million
and now,
per year. And what's now?
Now it's about 3 to 4 million. So we're doing good. We're doing, but it's because of places like ARF that, are getting these animals sterilized, and good vets helping and things like the Illinois Pet Population Control Fund.
Tell me a little bit more about Best Friends, and the only reason I'm asking about that again is that's where Michael Vick's dogs went, right?
That's where all, well, not all, but 22 of the most shut down of Michael Vick's dogs were. And,
This was 8 or 9 years ago. Are there still any around?
There are, and there's, we have 7 still at Best Friends, and a lot have gotten adopted. And there is a wonderful movie that you can download now called The Champions, and it's about what happened to Michael Vick's dogs.
Really?
Yeah, it's an inspirational story, and it shows the beautiful sanctuary. So once you see that movie, you will want to go, Bruce. You will.
Yeah. Quit it. Just quit it.
I won't. Sorry. I'm a lobbyist.
Oh, all right. So on Netflix or what?
It is not on Netflix yet, but it's if you go to bestfriends.org or the Champions website, I think it's on Amazon Prime.
How would one become more involved in that if they wanted to? Bestfriends.org.
Bestfriends.org.
And just like send an email to somebody and say, hey, I'm here.
Bestfriends.org, and you can sign up. And if you want to get involved in the legislation, you can go to bestfriends.org/action and sign up to get our free legislative alerts. And actually, we have one up about a bill in Illinois right now.
Really?
Yeah.
What's going on in Illinois?
So in Illinois, we have House Bill 4671. We hope that Representative Reitz will sign on to it.
Okay.
But this would, right now we have...
Senator Ryder, have you heard either of them?
It's not in the Senate yet, but we would hope that he would sign on too. So we're taking this through the House first. And this would allow counties to save the Illinois Pet Population Control Funds, which they can do now, but it would allow them to do the same thing as the state can do. So it would allow them to fund the spaying and neutering of feral cats and barn cats and farm cats. So that's what we're hoping will get done. It's House Bill 4671.
Tell folks about the Dodie and I have talked about it on the show before, but about the importance of spaying and neutering a feral cat and a feral cat colony. How that can just multiply.
Well, we've been trying to catch and kill, you know, dogs and cats for like the last 100 years.
Right.
You know, for cats, it ain't working. Yeah. You know, we still have like 999 cats in Madison County being killed every year.
Yeah.
So the studies show that if you do trap, neuter, and return, you know, the cat population kind of stabilizes. They keep the unsterilized cats out and they stop reproducing. So you have attrition, where the numbers go down. And like back in the day when we, you know, my husband and I bought 3 acres and a barn, our neighbors had 40 acres, we had, the first 2 years we were there in the 80s, we spayed and neutered 60 cats.
Are you kidding me?
We almost went broke.
Just on your three?
On three measly little
acres.
60 cats. I mean, you know, it was.
You would think it would get around the cat community to avoid that section of town.
I know. If you want your balls, stay away. But yeah, so we did that, and now we're down to we have a colony of 18. You know, so and maybe one cat a year will come that we have to trap. But we've done a good job on our little property.
So you're in Madison County.
We're in Madison County. Yes.
I'm really kind of surprised that your number's still that high, that that's as many as
Well, I do, like, you know, when I taught cruelty at the Illinois State Police Academy, I went and there was a mama cat and kittens in the dumpster, and so I got the cadets to trap them, and I brought them back to our barn, and I kept them in a cage for a couple weeks and let them go, and they hung around. So I will do occasional things like that if I see a cat in a bad place.
When you taught cruelty at the state police, I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, anti-cruelty laws, basically. Yeah. So I used to teach back in the day when I was with the ASPCA, the cruelty laws, because they're not usually taught in the academies.
Really?
Yeah. So to the state police, we taught them. I taught here in Norris, you know, for the
one Norris
of the
City.
Yeah, Norris City for one of the mobile units, you know, in southern Illinois back in the day. So police officers would send their officers to this training, and we would go through the cruelty laws, because most of the cruelty laws are contained in the Humane Care for Animals Act, not the Illinois Criminal Code.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why they don't.
So they don't pay attention to it.
They don't pay attention.
It's not the criminal code.
They don't know that it exists.
Right.
You know, and so a lot of times I have people call me and say, my sheriff says he can't do anything about this. It's like, this is the citation. Tell him that, you know, it's 510 ILCS 70 and that he needs to do his job and enforce the law. And so once they have a citation, a lot of the police officers are more than happy to arrest jerks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are you able to get more and more? I guess it's a continuing learning process for both people who see cruelty going on as well as for the law enforcement, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's why, you know, the ASPCA has done a good job regarding the cruelty laws. And that's why, you know, we have really good laws in Illinois. And that's why we're trying to, at Best Friends, trying to focus on stopping the killing in shelters.
As a Best Friends senior legislative attorney.
Yes.
Let me get it right. Senior legislative attorney. As that, you see the laws for each state.
Yes.
Which state and you say Illinois is maybe one of the strongest
it,
states.
It is, according to the Animal Legal Defense Fund.
What states would be on the bottom? And what other states are very strong?
Like Kentucky's not good.
Kentucky's
not good.
Rough.
Like Idaho, not good. So usually the bad states are southern and western, except for California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the folks is... manifest destiny kind of states, man.
Yeah, kind of. But those states actually are good at trying to get rid of things that will protect personal property, like getting rid of breed discrimination.
Right.
In Utah and South Dakota, in 2014, we were able to get laws passed that prohibit cities from enacting breed discriminatory laws. We're trying to get one passed in Missouri right now.
Tell me about Denver's.
Denver's is pretty bad.
Is it still as strong as it always was? Have they taken the teeth out of it.
Oh, that's funny. Oh. Funny, Bruce. We're hoping they will this year because we had three screenings of the champions in Denver. We had a legislative alert go out to all our best friends people in Denver. And so now one of the city councilors is interested in it. And so we're hoping that we're in talks with him. We're hoping he'll try to get that passed to get rid of breed discrimination in Denver this summer.
It sounds like a pretty long process, isn't it?
It's a long, arduous process, but it's so necessary. Like in Missouri, there are 83 cities that ban breeds of dogs, and it doesn't matter. They can ban poodles if they want to,
right.
But most of them ban American Pit Bull Terriers, our Rottweilers, our Dobermans. There's a city in Missouri that bans chows, or mixes thereof. So let's say you're a little Benji-like dog. Some animal control guy could come up and say, I think that's a chow mix, and he could take and kill your dog, which is simply un-American. And, in America, responsible citizens should be allowed to own whatever breed of dog they choose. Illinois, they cannot discriminate against breeds of dogs.
Really?
Really. We got that passed in 2003.
Since we're talking about it, we'll talk a little bit more about breed discrimination. When did the laws start coming in? Because I'm assuming that it was a Wild West before somebody started deciding, hey, look, you shouldn't have that kind of dog. You shouldn't have that kind of. When did that all start?
It started in the 80s, basically when and I think a lot of the organizations back at the time inadvertently demonized the dogs. Like the HSUS in the champions, they mentioned, Michael Vick's dogs are the most, vicious dogs in the United States, and they hadn't even met the dogs. HSUS has changed their policy since that time, but PETA still thinks that all fight bus dogs should be destroyed, and they support breed discriminatory laws.
I think
laws.
If there's been any fight, if a dog has fought at all, should just or go ahead and take it out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, which is unfair. I have a little fight bus dog. She is from
what are you calling it?
Fight bust, B-U-S-T.
Oh, okay, yeah. A fight bus. So you've got a dog from like an arrest of a of
exactly
a fight, of
exactly
a fighting ring.
Yeah, she was part of a fighting ring, and her previous owner went to jail for 18 months.
Is that right?
And my cats beat the crap out of her. They do.
The dog will let the cats have their way.
Yeah, they will hang on to her face, and she'll come up to me like, I love this cat. Can you please get it off my face? Yeah.
How does one go about finding it? I guess best friends is probably where you would find that kind of thing.
Yes. And
where do they go?
Well,
because you hear the occasional... You hear the occasional arrest and that kind of thing, or busting, I guess,
yeah.
For one of a fighting dog ring, and that's when Best Friends steps in or something.
Well, Best Friends stepped in for the Vic dogs, but we do have if you go in our magazine this month, and if you go on the website, we have Little Joy, who has been there, and she was one of the Missouri 500, the largest fight bust in the United States history. And
wait
she's
a second,
a
whoa,
love.
Whoa, time out.
Trying to get her home, okay?
I understand. 500.
500, Missouri 500. That's what my dog was part of. But there were 500 dogs and puppies seized. They had a huge fight bus bunker in an undisclosed location in St. Louis. And
this
had,
was in St. Louis?
In St. Louis.
How did I not hear about this?
Oh, you had eight states, like
no.
28 defenders.
No.
It was all over. It was
no.
Southern Illinois District
no.
had part of the case.
Was it during baseball season or something?
Probably. yeah. So you just looked at the sports page, right?
Somebody said that something happened in Ferguson last year. I don't know.
Yeah, what? Where?
Something was going on. I don't know what. So you got your dog out of the Missouri 500.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And Joy is the only Missouri 500 dog left from that bus that's still at the sanctuary.
Is that right?
Yeah, and she is a doll now. I mean, we had 20 students from George Washington University, and they all met her because they wanted to meet a dog that she's from Fighting Ring. And it's great. It's on web that they, on my Facebook page, they'd all started, she was licking them all, and they were just all happy. But she's just a happy little dog now. Yeah.
I'm talking with Leedy Van Cavage. She's the senior legislative attorney at Best Friends Animal Society. That's in Utah, but she's not in Utah. She's here in the studio. And we'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show, talk a little bit more about what's going on and what's maybe some of the future of the laws surrounding animals and animal cruelty and just how folks treat their animals. And we'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. I appreciate you tuning in this morning. I've been looking forward to this show for weeks.
Sure.
I have.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I really have. Well, I've been forced to.
Yeah, indeed. I know Doty.
Senior legislative attorney at Best Friends Animal Society, Leedy Van Cavage, has joined the show. And we've been talking about of a wide variety of things. We were talking a little bit about pit bulls earlier in the that Champions movie. Will he ever do enough to get back into the good graces, you think?
Heavy sigh.
Let's see, the name that I call animal activists, because it's mainly women, right?
Well, it is kind of like
generally women. Yeah. and you're very enthusiastic for the most part.
Indeed we are.
And
passionate,
let's put it that way. Very passionate.
Yes,
he's never going to satisfy most of these people. He could, but he still has a lot he could do.
He does have a lot he can. And I guess at Best Friends, we just feel frustrated. We got 22 of his dogs. He's never called to say like how they doing.
Never checked on.
Never
his dogs.
Like since since he was mandated to do the mandatory settlement to help care for the dogs. He's never sent in a check. He's never.
They did get the money.
Oh,
on
well,
the settlement.
We did. He was ordered to pay $900,000 for. And it was a proportion to the places
to each
that
dog.
Got, yeah, depending on how,
see, that was pretty,
how bad the dogs were.
What were they, 60?
There were 52, and then he had some beagles too. And the beagles, were not, they got adopted out very, very quickly. So, but he had 52 pit bull terrier like dogs, yeah. And actually, we ran the DNA on some of them, and some of them were part Boston Terrier.
No kidding.
No kidding. I mean, you can't judge a book by its cover. I mean, my mom always said that. But, you know, we found that people, you know, with mixed breed dogs, they're only right in guessing their breed in 25% of the cases.
You know, for that matter, the Boston Terrier, I could see it looking from a purely, you know, awful standpoint of fighting dogs. They're aggressive little things.
Oh, they're all individuals, Bruce, just like people.
I know.
You know, some people would think your Great Danes are.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. They do seem like that. But you know, but that's the bad thing, Mike. We've got a Great Dane that, to get your attention, likes to grab your forearm in his jaws. That's basically, hey, I need something.
But he doesn't put pressure on
it. Not a lot.
So that's good. That's how I used to have a pit bull terrier that would sleep with my husband and I. His name was Darrow. And to wake my husband up, that's what I'd say, "Gator mouth, Darrow." And he'd grab my husband's arm and just start like chewing on it very lightly. And my husband would get
up. Yeah, you wake up then.
You do.
How many animals do you have out there, best friends?
We have 1,800.
Wow.
I know. And bunnies and pigs kinds, and horses, yeah, and goats, and you can adopt them all. So, you know, so basically, well, are the ones that are ready for adoption. But a lot, you know, have problems that, you know, that might be physical.
Well, that's
problems.
Why they're there, I presume.
Yeah, that we try to get them to a place where they can be adopted. Like little Joy, when she came in, she was, you know, pretty shut down, and now she's a normal dog.
How many people are involved at Best Friends?
We have, we are the largest employer in Kane County, Utah, and so we have about 600 employees throughout the nation now.
When you, as the administrative attorney there for them, mm-hmm, the legislative attorney,
sure,
I'm sorry, for Best Friends, your job, you go around to various states. What is the most pressing need, you think, right now?
Right now, it's, you know, and the best change is the community cat programs. Because
talk about those, please.
Okay, so basically a lot of places are going to shelter, neuter, and return for community cats. So like Albuquerque, they decided to stop killing cats. They were killing about 80% of the cats that were coming into their shelters. Mm-hmm. And nationally, that's the case. I mean, most cats that go into shelters don't make it out alive.
Right.
So they wanted to try to switch it up. And so they got a grant and they started doing, when they would trap a cat, they would sterilize it, vaccinate it, ear tip it, and put it back where it was found. Their live release rate now is over 90%.
Really?
They are saving 90% of the cats that come into their shelter. And any place can do this. It's a brand new thing.
What's the current I'm going to ask a question that I probably should know, but I don't. What's the current best method? I mean, is it surgery, or are there chemical sterilizations now that they can do that might be less expensive?
There are chemical sterilizations for dogs right now, and they're trying to do find them for cats too. But right now, I don't know of any sterilization for cats chemical that's in use. But it's easy. I mean, if you neuter a cat, it takes 5 minutes. I've seen the vets. Yeah. Yeah. Easy surgery. I know you guys don't want to hear that.
Hey, anybody I've talked to who's had it done said it was pretty quick.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, I'm scared now.
Yeah. My husband sleeps with his eye open.
I bet he does.
Yeah.
I bet he does. Where are you finding the most progress being made?
It's amazing.
And what is the most progress?
Well, the most progress are places like, you know, and Las Vegas, the city that you evidently love, is...
I've been there one time.
Okay, okay.
But I'm just trying to get away from
the animals?
I'll tell you what I'm trying to get away from. Going on vacation and scooping horse manure.
We will find another job for you. You don't have to do the horse manure. You can walk the
pigs.
Can
I do it with a bulldozer or something like that? You got a backhoe. I don't mind doing it with a backhoe.
Yeah, I don't think we allow, you know, volunteers to really... Sorry.
I've got a forklift driver's license.
You can walk the pigs. You can play with the parrots. How about that?
Okay.
Okay, so...
So Las Vegas is making progress.
Las Vegas is... They just enacted a community cat ordinance. They are actually, there's some places in Oregon that don't have healthy cats to adopt, and Las Vegas is starting to ship healthy cats to Oregon for adoption, but they're starting to do a community cat program, you know, which is trap, neuter, you know, vaccinate, and return it to where it was found.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Well, and the studies show that only people, you know, once a cat gets into shelter, only 2% of them are reclaimed. But if you let a cat go where it was found, you know, where you found it, 6% of those make their way homes through non-shelter means.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they're 6%. So they are 6 times more likely to find their way home on their own than
that's
in a shelter.
That's the amazing thing about cats.
Yeah.
Because they will find their way home.
They will. The song "The Cat Came Back."
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. One of ours is, the one we call the half cat. It's half ours because it hangs out in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's their community cats.
That's exactly right.
Exactly right.
Real quickly, back on breed discrimination. We talked a little bit about Denver, and maybe folks probably don't realize what they were one of the first big cities, right, to basically outlaw, and they outlawed pit bulls, right?
They outlawed pit bulls, and people that would just drive through Denver if they have a pit bull in their car. Like one guy, you know, he was in his truck with his pit bull, and Denver PD pulled him over and they took his dog.
That's just amazing.
It's just, it's crazy. Yeah. It's un-American. You know, like under the law, you know, dogs and cats are property. They're property they're property. But for you to be able to do that in an American city and just take your property and kill it, it's crazy. It's, you know, unconscionable.
So I thought, and the reason I'm asking, because I thought the law had already been repealed. It's not repealed.
No, it's not repealed, and we're hoping it'll get repealed. But I do think the Champions movie is helping, you know, change the image of the dog.
I asked you about the formation of those breed discrimination laws, and of course, I already said why they're near and dear to me because I've got Great Danes, and why I'm paying attention to it. Are there? I always kind of look at, and you have a better view of this to me, and you haven't mentioned it yet. I always wonder if insurance companies have maybe a little bit of a more say in this than. Maybe not more say, but a lot of say in that.
They do discriminate against breeds of dogs, and different insurance companies discriminate against different breeds. Like I have Farmers Insurance.
Right.
They don't discriminate against pit bull terriers or any dogs in Illinois. State Farm doesn't discriminate. But other places like American Family, they discriminate. Nationwide, Geico. I mean, a lot of these places do discriminate against a variety of breeds of dogs. So, you know, we hope, you know, we try to encourage pet owners to go with pet-friendly companies, you know, that don't discriminate against any breeds of dog, and to tell your insurance company why you're changing. Oh, you ask. You know, you ask your insurance agent, hey, you know, like, so do you, like, discriminate against any breed of dog? Get pit bulls or Rottweilers or some discriminate against golden retrievers. It's crazy. You don't know the list, and it's all individual companies.
See, that's the thing. I've got friends with Shih Tzu, but I'm trying to remember.
A Bichon?
No. What's my friend Marty's dog? I can't.
A Lhasa Apso?
Atticus. Atticus is the name of the dog.
Oh,
and that's
a nice
all
name.
I can think. Well, he named it after, of course, Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes, indeed.
But they've got a dog that they've had a little bit of trouble with but it never has bit anybody or anything like that. Just one of those kind of things. And I always wonder if the insurance companies are paying just too much close. If the insurance if the insurance companies might have been a force behind the Denver deal, or do you think they maybe just got behind the Denver deal?
I think if they're
with them at all.
I think, you know, especially with.
I guess the reason I'm asking. Yes. I'll interrupt you.
Sure.
I guess the reason I'm asking. I'm wondering if you have to battle this on two fronts. If you have to go talk to legislators and city council people, as well as talk to insurance companies.
Well, we do, and we're trying to do that. But a lot of them, you know, like some are good, like State Farm and Farmers.
Yeah.
They, you know, but others are bad, and there are two states that prohibit them, insurance companies, from canceling a person's policy simply because of the breed of dog they own. No, wish it were. We tried to get a bill passed like that in Illinois a few years ago. Senator Harmon did. It went nowhere because the insurance companies have a lot of lobbyists.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it's Michigan and Pennsylvania that prohibit insurance companies from discriminating against breeds of dogs. But people can do a lot by just changing their insurance company
right.
and telling them why.
Tell them why.
Exactly. Have them come over and meet your dog and say, we're out of here, man.
It makes sense.
It does. It does.
Tell me a little bit before I let you go here. What's on the horizon for Best Friends and what's for you?
Well, for us, you know, we want to get this bill passed in Illinois, House Bill 4671. So if the people go to bestfriends.org/action and send an alert, call Representative Rice and say, hey, sign on to this bill.
House Bill
4671,
okay.
Basically, for the Pet Pop Fund so counties can do what the state can do because the state is in a little bit of disarray. If anyone noticed.
Yeah. that might make a lot of sense. Huh?
It would.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to buy more acreage? Are you going to move to Utah?
No. I'm an Illinois girl. I mean, that's, you know.
You're here.
I'm here. These are my roots. You know, my grandfather was, you know, grandfathers were coal miners,
yeah.
You know, so this is where I'm from.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. It's been a real pleasure to me. I mean, and I hope you the most success possible in what you've got going.
Thank you, Bruce. And this was worth the drive and the getting up early.
That's Leedy Van Cavage. She's the senior legislative attorney at Best Friends Animal Society. You can find more information about Best Friends at bestfriends.org.
That is correct.
Bestfriends.org. And that's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. We'll talk to y'all again on Monday. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.